This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings is the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55 and is bringing back the golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs. So go on over and download the DraftKings app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. That's code FANRUN in all caps, only at DraftKings, the official daily partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
All right, and welcome to the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. We are here in studio after a wild, wild weekend, ready for another great show. Hey, we are broadcasting live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Radio, broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. As always, podcast will be uploaded in just moments after the show goes off the air. The Periscope is available to view right now live on our Facebook and Twitter accounts. And then, of course, we have FanRunRadio.com and the Fan Run Radio app, which, of course, we'll tell you a little bit more about that a little bit later on. But until then, gentlemen, good morning. It's good to see everybody. Hope you all had a very nice weekend. My name is Rick Beller. Joined to my left, that is Brandon Orrick. Joined to my right, that is Charlie Collier. And, of course, the one and only Chance Collins back behind the booth. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. How are y'all doing?
Doing pretty good, Rick.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
Feeling good, man.
Pretty good.
Okay.
Can't complain.
All right.
Feeling good. Feeling great.
Two for two?
Yeah, pretty good.
Your mic's
on. Your mic on.
Pretty good.
Okay.
You would think this would not be a problem by now.
Once a week.
I get confused sometimes because the button, when it's on, like the on is at the bottom, and then when it's off, the off is at the top. So it makes me think like you have to slide it that way for that action to happen.
We have a big day today, so I hope everybody is ready to bring it to the table because there are so many things that we have to talk about. It was a huge weekend just all across the sports world, and in really any different direction you looked, starting all the way with when we went off the air on Friday. Brandon, we just got a good text, I guess, from a listener, Austin, who said, how salty are y'all going to be when the news breaks at 12:01, two Mondays in a row? The answer is very, very. It seems like this always tends to happen. It seems like all the best news gets broken at about 12 o'clock noon. It might be a Monday, but just at any point in the week. So that's what we got to talk about on Friday afternoon last week. Right as our show went off the air, Danny White had his introductory press conference. So yeah, I want to start
like
back
it. I kind of like it when it happens that way. I kind of like it when it happens that way. Well,
so?
it breaks at 11:50. We get to talk about it for 5 minutes. No, you can get a whole day to talk about it.
I don't mind it like that because I was able to actually enjoy the press conference and actually listen to it.
Sit down and be able to really kind of digest it. So I do want to go back. We're pretty much going to be going back in today's show and kind of looking at some of the things that happened throughout the weekend. Again, starting with that Danny White press conference from Friday. But man, if you were on any kind of form of social media this weekend, boy, was it a rowdy time indeed. Everybody had a coaching search candidate. Everybody had an opinion on a candidate. It didn't matter if it was from a big school, it was from a small school, if it was someone that people liked, if it was someone that people didn't like. There were about 1.5 million names floating around Twitter all throughout the weekend. So that's something I want to do a little bit right now, or at least something today, is kind of set the record straight a little bit. Kind of narrow that down because you did hear so many names over the weekend. You did hear some crazy outliers. And then, of course, you heard some names that we think might be a little bit more on point. So I kind of want to reset that a little bit, kind of figure out who we think are some of the coaching candidates that survived the weekend, I guess. At least just in terms of kind of who we have who we've heard a little bit of information about. But I think that first and foremost, you got to give props and you got to give some credit to the search firm or the search team or Danny White or whoever else is doing this. It seems like very little information has gotten out. Seems like no true definitive reports. There's been a lot of guessing. There's been a lot of, I think this is a direction that Tennessee's heading. But ultimately, we're sitting here starting a brand new week, and I don't feel that much more confident to knowing anybody. Not that I really felt that confident where we were on Friday.
No. Nobody knows anything.
No.
I think that's a good thing, in my opinion, that no one knows anything. All these rumors are complete speculation. Nobody has – I don't think anybody has any solid information on who they think the coach is going to be. I think that pretty much tells you that Danny White has almost complete autonomy in this coaching search. He's not being told who to hire. He's not being puppeted around by boosters. I think he has complete control of this coaching search.
Sure.
Which is different and refreshing for a Tennessee coaching search.
Yeah, I would
it's
say.
It's boring. It's boring. There's not names being thrown around and rumors and obviously many people know over the weekend that they blocked the plane.
Oh, yeah.
You can't track the flight.
They shut that down.
But it's refreshing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, any name you're going to see right now, to me, feels unimportant. People want to say, oh, you know, there's a really good chance it's this guy. It's this guy's job if he wants it. I don't think anyone knows a thing. Like Mike Farrell, for example, who's one of the head writers of Rivals. Saturday night, he tweeted, college football source told me tonight that Vol's job is Tony Elliott's if he wants it. Not news, I know, but a good source. And then Sunday, the specific Clemson writer for Rivals says that he's seen the Tony Elliott rumors. He's reached out to three different sources in the program, one as close to the situation as you can get, and that Tony Elliott hadn't even heard from Tennessee, let alone got an interview or anything else. There was no interaction there. So, I mean, I think just that, two guys from the same site on such different pages shows just really how good of a job that Danny White's doing, just keeping this close to the chest, not letting anyone really know. And it's refreshingly boring.
There is some wild things that, you know, we heard over the weekend. Brandon was right. They did disable the plane tracker. I also heard something, some rumblings about decoy planes being sent out for people to try to go and track. People are still set up at the airport. It is a wild time around here. How many other fan bases could find an unidentifiable plane? Ours can. Shout out to them.
Yeah, get a life.
But man, there's so many there's so many different things to talk about here today. And man, in a lot of ways, Charlie, I totally agree with you. There are so many rumors that are being bounced around. So many he said, she said, so much stuff going on, but we're going to still do our best, try to wrangle it down to a couple of names and tell you what we think about those, or at least the names that are brought up along the way. Chance, you have a entertaining weekend over Twitter, kind of watching all these names be thrown out?
Yeah, it was, I think that, I don't know how you guys feel, I know what Charlie just said, but I think what it looks like, Tony Elliott's the front runner right now. It really does, like, from, like, most of, like, the rumors and the experts and the articles keep saying that Danny White is really has a thing for Tony Elliott. And then some people might say, I think we had somebody call maybe last week or maybe it was on one of the other shows in the afternoon, that it does beg the question that, you know, he interviewed him at UCF. He wasn't, I guess, good enough for him at UCF. He wanted Josh Heupel, so where's the connection for him at a bigger job than UCF in Tennessee? But, I mean, maybe he's earned his keep. He's been OC or co-OC since 2015 at Clemson, high-powered offense. We do want an offensive-minded coach. I think some people might differ if they want a proven coach, somebody that has actually coached the Power Five. So that's probably where we differ a lot. But he is an offensive-minded coach. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's – I like it like this. Like, as much as I'd like to have more speculation and more of a beat on it and a pulse on who are they going to get, but at the same time, I think it's cool if they're moving in silence. Lil Wayne said, "Real G's moving in silence like lasagna." So I kind of feel it. Like, I mean, maybe that's good for Tennessee. It's
sure.
It's always out there leaked, and maybe that's good, and that shows that, you know, a commitment, the seriousness of the matter that they're taking. I do agree with Brandon. I think that Danny White's going to be a guy that marches to his own drum. I really do that. He's going to march to the beat of his own drum. Maybe that changes as years go by and more influenced by boosters, influenced by top vol brass.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he looks like he's coming in and he's going to do it his way. I mean, that was one of the things I took away from the press conference. I mean, even Donde Plowman, when she started getting peppered with questions about the coaching search, like, well, that's an answer. You know, that's up to the AD.
Yeah.
Like, she immediately, like, that's up to the AD.
That's why we hired the guy we did.
Yeah.
Because we want to be able to confidently say that, hey, our AD is handling that, and we have the utmost confidence.
Yeah, we got faith in him. And then also, too, that shows me a lot of the confidence that they have in him.
Yeah.
So I think if you're a Vol fan, you are jaded over all the years lately, and you don't have a lot of trust in this program. Let's just be honest. You don't have a lot of trust. But he said the right things. He won the presser, as people commonly do. But it seems like they're giving him the keys, and they're like, fix Tennessee football. Like, it really does seem that way. Like, please fix Tennessee football. That's what it seems like he's going to do.
Sure, and you want to, you know, you would believe and you hope to believe that a guy of his caliber and a guy of his quality wants to come to Tennessee because he sees that challenge and that opportunity ahead of him. Hey, this is all about rebuilding a national brand back to where we can believe it, we can take it. So that's obviously going to be the main topic of conversation today. It is. It's getting back things to where they need to be. And I'm going to be very careful when I say that. I'm not going to say we need to build back Tennessee to where they were. Look, I've already said this. I don't care about where things were some 23, 25 years ago. I care about bringing Tennessee back to a new national relevance, right? Putting Tennessee on the map in a new direction and in a new way. We still believe that can happen because of what we know that Tennessee can be ultimately at its potential. Obviously, a big topic conversation today is going to be the debating of certain coaching candidates, and we'll kind of go back and forth and give our opinions on some of those coaching candidates. But otherwise, we got a bunch of other things to get into, or at least try to get into as well. Guys, Saturday night was not a good night for Tennessee fans. Ugly, ugly loss at home against Missouri. We'll get into that basketball game coming up here soon. Talk about what is going on with the Tennessee basketball team and what is the cause of this two-game concern. Are you hitting the panic button? That is the question I'm going to throw out on the table to the guys here. That is the question for you to answer at home as well. Then we'll get into a little bit of the Super Bowl. Gentlemen, we have our teams set and finalized. As somebody explained it to me yesterday, we are having Yoda versus Grogu. The old GOAT. Some may say the new GOAT. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes. Wow, what a Super Bowl matchup. The first ever Super Bowl to be played in the home team stadium.
Yeah, first ever.
It's huge. It's huge. The Buccaneers are a long, long way off from 8-8, as they are now hosting the Super Bowl. Tom Brady, he got it done yesterday.
I caught that 8-8.
Thank you. Chance, you're certainly supposed to. Tom Brady was able to get his team to the Super Bowl. And look, I don't want to sit here and pump sunshine for Tom Brady, but it really is
an
incredible feat.
He's a GOAT.
He, in his first ever year in the NFC Championship, he takes his team to the Super Bowl, representing the NFC.
As much as I was pissed off yesterday because the Packers lost, and I was like, man, like, Packers going to continue to get to the NFC Championship and just lose. They just keep doing it to me. But, I mean, they did enough. The guy throws three interceptions and they still lose. Packers didn't capitalize. They blew the game. But, like, yeah, he throws three picks. And then we talk about they're on a 6-1 streak now. And we talked about all year. Like, I mean, I was one of the people like, the Patriots, I believe in the Patriots till they do it. Obviously, we saw what they did this year. They looked awful. And Brady, man, to jump conferences and to do it without Belichick, like, I think that's just further legitimized that he is a GOAT. Like, I don't know what else we need. I know that people around this part, they love Peyton Manning, but, like, I mean, like, come on, man. Like, to look at it now, so many people said he was part of the system. You know, he can't do it without Belichick. Then he goes and does it with Bruce Arians, and they did it with Brady. They don't have Brady. They don't go to the Super Bowl. They didn't go to the Super Bowl with Jameis. Like, they weren't doing that stuff with Jameis.
I'll be honest here. I think they could have gone to the Super Bowl with a lot of quarterbacks.
I don't know. Their defense played well. They have a lot of weapons on the offensive side. They got Fournette. They got Ronald Jones. They got Evans. They got Brown. They also have Godwin. They have Gronk. I mean, Gronk coming back for Brady.
Team,
like,
man.
They
They're rolling. They're rolling.
I think they can do it. And if Brady is to win another Super Bowl, and this time without Belichick and doing it, all the Super Bowls that he's won as an AFC player, and then now if he goes to the NFC, I mean, he is an NFC, but now if he wins one on that side, yeah, I mean, man. Like, it doesn't have to further legitimize to me. I think he is the GOAT. I mean, the guy earned it. He was a seventh-round draft pick, fifth-round draft pick, something like that. So he's earned everything he's gotten. But, yeah, man, he did it again.
And then on the flip side of things, the Chiefs. The Chiefs took 4 months off and are still going to the Super Bowl, still dropped 40.
Like everyone thought.
You know, almost 40 points yesterday in a beatdown of the Buffalo Bills. We'll get into that game coming up here soon. Guys, we have a massive show today. Not to mention, on top of all of the things we've already said, we have a great guest for you coming up here at 11 o'clock. Right at the top of the second hour, we will be talking to Chris Vanini, a college football reporter for The Athletic, and a guy who has really been in touch with his Tennessee coaching search. You can go to his Twitter account before the interview, at Chris Vanini, and kind of look through some of the Tennessee things he's been saying, as well as some of the articles he's been writing. Really kind of keeping an ear to the ground on this Tennessee coaching search. We will get his idea on what is going on over at the Hill coming up here at 11 o'clock a.m. So, hey, don't go anywhere. It is a massive show right here on the Blitz. Let's have some fun today. Here we go back here on the Blitz. Hey, 865-546-8200. That is your number to call in. We have open phone lines. Give us a call. We would love to hear your coaching search
hot
candidate,
board.
Your nomination, your hot board. Guys, we've gone days without talking about a hot board. Many things have kind of transpired, or at least maybe under the radar. Radar is a key word considering the whole flight tracker thing. But maybe some coaching candidates have made an impact in your nomination, or at least sway you in what you think it's going to end up being. Brandon, was there any kind of talk, or was there any kind of report, or anything over the weekend that made you believe that Tennessee could at least be in a certain direction with a certain guy?
No. I mean, right now, I think Charlie said it earlier, right now, any of these names that I see, I'm just kind of taking it with a grain of salt. I don't think it means all that much. I don't think you know anything about any of them. I mean, who are we talking about? Chadwell, Campbell, Elliott, who else? P.J. Fleck.
P.J. Fleck.
Gross.
How about Lane Kiffin? Is still, I think, the biggest white whale that people want to talk about or post pictures of on Twitter. Man, I don't think we're getting Lane Kiffin, everybody. You can change your profile pictures back to yourself. James Franklin, Brandon, has been a name that's come up over the last couple of days.
No.
He's a good coach, but he's just icky to me.
So here's something that I saw this morning. I don't know if it's from some podcast. It's a Florida guy talking about one time he completely it's a radio or podcast guy completely botched a hire because he was purposefully fed false information by an AD. Do you know who that AD was?
Who?
Danny White. Purposefully fed false information.
You're kidding.
No. I'll retweet the video.
Wow.
I feel like whoever we hire will more than likely not have been mentioned. I feel like the more we see someone mentioned, the less likely they are that they will be our head coach.
I mean, that's how the AD search went.
It did.
The AD search was close to the vest, it was a name that came out of left field. You didn't hear it until about a day before it happened. And I kind of think that's how the coaching
search is going.
That's what
we need to go do, man. We need to get the Danny White of the head coaching world.
Yeah, that would be nice.
The guy that no one's really talking about, but right when you see him, you know that he's bringing some credentials to the table. You know that he's bringing some experience to the table. A lot of names being thrown out. I saw, obviously, I think some of the biggest conversations over the weekend were surrounding P.J. Fleck. We're surrounding Tony Elliott. We're surrounding some of these coaches. I did also see that, according to some reports, Neil Brown was a name that was talked about, but he has come out and since said that he is uninterested, or at least these reports are saying that he is uninterested. So maybe that's another name to cross off the list.
I like Neil Brown.
What did he do at West Virginia this year?
Very mediocre.
Not great.
I liked him.
Is this his first or second year?
Second. But he's
got like
stuck
maybe
with
500 at
tough
West Virginia.
Roster.
If you could hand the signing papers over to somebody that has been mentioned, to one of the names that have been mentioned around, and we just listed a bunch of them.
Well, I feel like you got to take Kiffin off the board because everybody's first option is going to be Kiffin.
Sure, I would agree. Let's take Kiffin's name off the board, and we can be reasonable with it, right? Like, I don't know. I don't think that Hugh Freeze is a likely candidate right now, even though we did talk about that Greg Sankey conversation at the end of last week. But either way, is there anybody in particular that maybe we have heard talked about, or you at least have been heard thrown the name around, who that's a guy where you would say, you know what, this is the guy that I'm kind of hoping that Tennessee goes after? Out of everybody that you might have heard over the weekend.
I mean,
Kind of getting on the Fickell train a little bit.
Yes.
Luke Fickell.
Yeah.
A little bit.
He's number one on my hot board, baby.
I could get behind Luke Fickell.
I want an offensive-minded coach. I know he's a defensive guy. It's the only thing that holds me back. Because I know what he did at Ohio State before they brought Urban in. He could have been the coach. And they brought Urban in, he stayed, and they did well. And what he's done in Cincinnati.
Campbell really interests me. But he's got a really big buyout, doesn't
he?
It's like $7 million.
Huge buyout. It's more than that. It's definitely more than that.
But Campbell is a name that I could probably get behind. I
think in particular, like those two names you kind of put in that category of guys that I hope that Tennessee is at least kind of gauging some interest in, right, to figure out maybe where they are. I don't know if those guys would be interested in Tennessee. But again, those are the guys that I think we would love for them to be interested in a job here.
I've put together my 8-man hot board now.
An 8-man hot board?
Yes, of who I would be looking at. This is no speculation.
Okay, hold on. Can we save that because we're nearing the end of this segment here? Can we jump over to the phone lines, get a call from Matt, and then come back, start that next segment off with this big hot board? Sound like a plan. Chance? Let's head over to the phone line, get a quick call before we got to end this segment right here from one of our own, it looks
like. Former producer.
Oh, one of our own. We spent a lot of Saturday mornings with
Matt
Johnson for the pregame. Good morning, Matt. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Good to hear from you.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man. Good to hear from you.
Oh, good to hear from you guys. I had a quick question, man. I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys. All the talk about Tony Elliott. I was curious if y'all are worried he could end up like Jeff Scott, who was his fellow co-offensive coordinator, went to Southern Florida and went 1-8 this year.
Well, there's that, and then also Chad Morris is another Clemson offensive coordinator, and I know he had a head coaching job after that at SMU, and then went to Arkansas.
Correct.
With me, my biggest concern about Elliott is the lack of head coaching experience and the lack of he's not done it and not had the best talent.
Can I try to phrase that for you? I think one of the biggest concerns to me is the abundance of quarterback talent that he has had that has been generational talent, right? He's had an abundance of talent at the one position that makes by far the most difference in all of college football, in all of the sport of football in general.
But it's not just the quarterback position that they have loads of talent. It's across the board that they have the best talent. Now, I will say this. I ran across this stat over the weekend about Elliott. This was before the start of this season. These numbers that I'm about to give you are before the start of this season. Clemson is 70-5 since Elliott took over as the primary play caller before the 2014 Russell Athletic Bowl.
Sick with it.
Yeah, that's nasty.
His offense averaged 40 points and 500 yards across the 75 games.
Right. There, I think there's no doubt about it. Like, he is a brilliant offensive mind. But do you guys not think that Butch Jones and staff would have some kind of a job still if he had gotten Amari Rodgers, T. Higgins, and Trevor Lawrence? I mean, this guy is working with best talent in the world. What about when you got to work with a guy like Jarrett Garantano? What about when the offensive line somehow is now producing in the 100s in terms of rankings in college football? What about those kind of problems? See, I think the good thing about some of these other candidates that we've talked about is they have proven that they have taken something or nothing and turned it into something. They have taken lesser talent and they have turned it into winning teams. Tony Elliott, I think, has done an amazing job at taking the best talent and turning that into the best offense over 5+ years. But is Tennessee a team that's starting out with the best talent? That's where my hesitation comes in. We'll continue the conversation all morning long. Hey, don't go anywhere. Charlie's Hot Board coming up next.
.10:36 back on the Blitz. Want to tell you about our friends over at FanDuel. The next time you're watching basketball, we have the perfect way for you to get in on the action for free. And I'm talking about NBA In Play. It's absolutely free to play on the FanDuel app and features all the fun of live betting. NBA In Play turns every quarter of every game into a free contest where you can win real cash prizes. So while you're watching the game, all you have to do is predict the outcomes of plays and game props before they happen to claim your share of the prize pool. Best of all, a new contest starts every quarter of every game, giving you even more ways to win. FanDuel is the exclusive home for NBA In Play, so the action is always available right at your fingertips on FanDuel. The app is easy to use and takes less than 2 minutes to get signed up. And it doesn't even matter where you live. Doesn't matter if sports betting is legal. Does not matter where you live or where you're traveling to, because NBA In Play is available in every state. So, Rick, if you're going back home to Texas, you can play it there.
Tremendous.
If you're in Georgia, you can play it there. If you're in North Carolina, you can play it there. It's available in every state. Don't miss your shot. Get in the game and download the FanDuel app to start playing NBA In Play today.
Hey, not too bad. You know, we haven't been able to talk about the NBA too much now that, you know, Tennessee's football search and their basketball team is certainly creating all sorts of news stories all over the place. But, man, the NBA season has been fun this year. At some point soon, we'll be able to dive into it a little bit every day. But right there, that's a great way to make a little bit of money with some NBA action. All right, guys, it is about that time. Charlie, you said you got you've been working on a list of candidates all weekend, scouring the internet for the best sources, the best resources, and you've got yours down to 8. Now, we got about 8 minutes, and we got about 8 candidates. Let's make it quick, but I want to know who is on this list of yours.
Yeah, these are my ideal candidates. Number one, Luke Fickell. I think his work speaks for himself. He's done an excellent job building Cincinnati, and he would be a home run hire, but I don't know if he'd come here. Number two, Lane Kiffin. You know, he's the white whale, but you got to at least include him. You know, I think he would at least maybe listen if Tennessee talked to him. I don't think he'd actually come here. I don't think it'd work out, but if it did, that'd be fantastic. Number three, Kyle Whittingham at Utah. He has consistently been one of the better coaches in the country for a long time out in Utah. He's fantastic in the postseason. He wins with talent that it does not compare to the teams that he's beating in the Pac-12. So if you can get him in Tennessee where he's getting better talent, I think he'd do pretty well.
A big thing
Very good coach. Jamie Chadwell. Makes me a little nervous because he's a Group of Five coach without really Power Five experience, but he runs a very complex and smart offense. I really like his philosophies there. Yeah, I think he provides a lot of energy. He's a Tennessee boy at heart. And, you know, I think it'd at least be fun. Next, Mario Cristobal.
Oh, where are we at, number six?
I forgot. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah,
keep the people suspense.
We're on number six. No, we're on number five.
So are you starting at eight and working your way down to number one?
No.
Number one was Luke Fickell.
Number one was Luke Fickell.
Okay, sorry.
So number five, Mario Cristobal at Oregon. You know, just an all-around solid coach. He was hired at the same time that Pruitt was, and he's lit it up at Oregon. Also a really good recruiter. On from there, number six, Gary Patterson. One of the best coaches in all of college football. The man has consistently won at TCU, and he has never had a five-star. He's never had a five-star, and he's consistently won at TCU. I mean, he built that thing from the ground. I think you couldn't get a better
coach. God, it's going to be hard to recruit at TCU when you have all those other powerhouses right next to you, Texas and Texas A&M, Oklahoma, LSU, Alabama. It's got to be hard to recruit at TCU. I do love Gary Patterson as well.
Just as a pure coach, he's fantastic. Here's a little bit of a surprise at number seven.
Okay.
Back to the Big 12, Chris Klieman from Kansas State.
Former North Dakota State coach.
He built that dynasty there. He's done good things at Kansas State since he got there. I mean, he had to change a lot from that program and rebuild his culture, but you started to see it with some of the wins they've produced. You know, I think he's a really smart coach. He gets the kids. He has great offensive and defensive philosophies, and he can recruit pretty well, too. I like him a lot.
What was his name? Chris Cahill?
Klieman.
Klieman.
Former North Dakota State coach. I don't know where you got that from.
Cahill?
Yeah, I don't know where you got that from.
I don't know.
And then, finally, Matt Campbell. Matt Campbell, not as high up on my board as most, because I feel like his team still plays rather inconsistent. Even though they've had those big highs, they've also had some lows that are a little bit head-scratching, and that just gives me a weird vibe. But, I mean, if you can make Iowa State anything else than just a terrible football team, you're probably a pretty good coach.
I do think that he kind of falls into that category of does more with less talent.
Right.
And again, that's a big thing to me about working through this coaching search, is I do think that that's a big quality. Because, look, Tennessee, you know, I know that there's been a couple of things that have happened since the investigation went down, but let's not forget that we are going to be looking at a couple of seasons where you do have less scholarships to work with. You are losing your best players from last year's team. This team is going to be a little bit talent deficient for the next couple of years, and those are going to be some of the most critical years for any kind of new coach. So if you're telling me that we can bring in a guy to already be a little bit ahead of the steps with that process, a guy who can do more with less, then that's totally a place that I'm looking at for a quality aspect of a hire.
Before we do anything else, though, let's call old Bob Stoops up, see if he'll take $10 million a year and come out of retirement.
Bobby?
Yeah.
Would love Bob Stoops.
Brandon, were there any names from that list that that stand out to you the most?
I'm not big on Patterson. Not anymore. I think his time's passed.
Jumped the shark.
Yeah. I think we missed our chance in 2009.
Several times.
I'm with you. I think I'm with Luke Fickell. Chadwell. I like Chadwell. I don't know. Is there anybody that we're just completely out on right now? Like, if they announce this guy,
oh yeah,
oh
tomorrow,
Sonny Dykes,
PJ Fleck.
I don't like PJ
Tom
Fleck
Herman.
Either. I could get behind Herman.
Tom Herman, I would struggle to get behind. Kevin Steele, be upset.
Well, I mean, I don't think Sonny Dykes and Kevin Steele are realistic options. I don't think they get it. I don't think they have a chance.
Tony
PJ Fleck, I think does. Why are you immediately out on PJ Fleck?
He's a used car salesman.
Yeah, he reminds me of Butch a lot.
Yeah, he's gimmicky. Oh, brick by brick, row the boat.
Well, hold on. I'm not saying I'm for him, but the cliches and the gimmicks are not what got Butch. Are not the reasons that Butch Jones lost.
No. That's true.
And I mean, everybody ate the brick by brick up.
Yeah.
Whenever he was first here.
It was the easiest thing to turn on when we knew that things were going bad. That was the easiest thing to turn on.
Well, when you start losing,
you're gonna bring a trash can out there. Like, that was so easy.
When you start losing, it's like, oh, these stupid sayings. Just win. But I mean, that's not the reason that Butch Jones failed here. I mean, I get it. I get the similarities. But I mean, Fleck's kind of made his own path. I mean, Butch Jones, I mean, I guess you could say the same for Butch Jones, but I mean, he kind of rode Brian Kelly's coattails. Central Michigan to Cincinnati to Power 5 job. I don't know. I wouldn't immediately be out on PJ Fleck. I wouldn't be thrilled and over the moon about it, but I wouldn't immediately be out.
If we hired PJ Fleck, I would struggle to get out of bed in the morning. I mean, PJ Fleck, I think, is gross. It would be a disgusting hire. He struggled at Minnesota, struggled this year. The recruiting hasn't been great. The year before, when they had their big special year, coaching metrics say that they won like 0.7 games over expected what they should have. Like, not even a full game that was influenced by the coaching. They said that the coaching of Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State was more influential on his team's success than PJ Fleck was that year. That it was just a combination of a decently easy schedule and a talented team.
I do think that this is a candidate that is potentially more likely than some of the other names we heard. I mean, according to John Bryce of FootballScoop.com, he wrote this exactly, quote, "Now Fleck is among the names that sources tell Football Scoop has been identified and vetted by Parker Executive Search for the opening at the University of Tennessee." Again, now that's just one source, so take that as you will, but certainly could be a name that you could potentially hear more of linked to this Tennessee hire.
How would you guys like some 8 degrees of PJ Fleck? 8 degrees of separation, like the Kevin Bacon thing. He also, I didn't know this, he was on Jim Tressel's staff, tight ends coach, when they went to the 2007 BCS National Championship game. But full circle, Fleck also was a wide receivers coach, because that's the position he played in college and in the NFL for a quick minute. He's a wide receivers coach at Northern Illinois, and he was under Jerry Keel, and then he also coached under he was wide receivers coach under Greg Schiano at Rutgers, and also he was OC under anybody?
I don't know.
Boring Dave Doran when he was the coach in Northern Illinois.
Oh, wow.
Think about that for some Tennessee full circle.
That is. That is a little full circle right there with your old VFL.
Yeah, he was assistant under Dave Doran and also an assistant under Greg Schiano.
Wow. So those are just some of the names that we have heard tied into this coaching search, and those are just some of the opinions about them. But either way, man, I do hope that we're getting close to finding out who our coach is going to be. Here, coming up in about 10 minutes or so, that is going to be one of the questions we will ask Chris Vanini of The Athletic about this Tennessee coaching search and about everything going on with Danny White and his process. Man, don't go anywhere. We're wrapping up hour number one right after this. Alright, here we go back here on the Blitz, 10:52 a.m. Hey, we are wrapping up hour number one here on the show right now. We got an action-packed hour number two for you coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Again, wanted to let you know that at the start of the second hour of the show today, right here at 11 o'clock here in about 8 minutes, we will be talking to Chris Vanini, national college football reporter for The Athletic, and hearing his take on everything going on at Tennessee, and maybe who he thinks that Tennessee could be in the direction of in terms of finding their next head coach. So again, that's coming up at 11 o'clock. But until we get then, or excuse me, until we get there, I did want to ask you guys if you had seen this over the weekend. Was anybody in touch with the Conor McGregor fight?
I did not. I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch.
I went over to Hayden's and watched it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Man, what a moment in UFC where Dustin absolutely takes down Conor McGregor in the second round, win by TKO, KO. Man, bad news for Conor. You know, all the stories that we had heard about Conor McGregor coming out the last couple of months or so, or I guess just over the last year, was that he had been sparring with these guys overseas, but guys that just were not talented fighters, were not anywhere on the level of competition of these UFC fighters. Conor McGregor was supposed to win this fight easily. Like, this was supposed to be a dominant fight for him to get back in the title chase, and just a stinker, an absolute stinker in the second round as he goes down. I'm sure you might not have seen the fight, but did you see the memes? The memes were flying around Twitter on Saturday night and Sunday morning.
There are so many memes.
So many.
Saw the Conor meme, the Bernie meme.
Did you see this one? Yeah. The great combination where it's got Bernie, Conor, and Nate Robinson. They're all just hanging out in the living room. Poor Nate and Conor, they're fast asleep on the couch. Bernie's still up, though. He's like the babysitter of the group.
Internet, undefeated.
Undefeated.
Never lost.
Undefeated. So anyways, that was, I felt like that was a ton of fun over the weekend. But aside from that, coming up here in the second hour, I want to maybe expand things out a little bit. And we do got to talk about this basketball team, because Saturday night was not a pretty sight for Rick Barnes and company. Ugly, ugly loss to Missouri late on Saturday night. However, you did see Danny White there. He was introduced. Did you see him chatting up the Haslams on the sideline?
I did.
That's what he's got to do.
Yeah.
Check the boxes. You got to keep your most influential boosters. You got to talk to them. You got to keep them happy, no matter what people think about House of Haslam, as they're referred to. They still bring in the most money.
Yeah, he was over there schmoozing the high donors, the high rollers at the basketball game. But either way, it did not help.
The people paying his salary.
It did not help, as Tennessee basketball is now officially 0-1 in the Danny White era. We'll talk about that game coming up here soon in the second hour, and kind of talk about what Tennessee needs to do in order to fix this skid that they're on right now. You get stomped by Florida on the road. You come back, you get smoked.
They need Jaden Springer back.
By Missouri at home. That's a big key, but is that enough? Is that enough to fix some of the problems that Tennessee basketball has right now? That will be a conversation saved for the second hour. Hey, coming up next, don't go anywhere. We're talking to Chris Vanini of The Athletic about this Tennessee football coaching search. Coming up next, right here on The Blitz.